Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
I had gotten home from work about an hour ago and was hunkered down inside for the night, sitting on my bed and watching TV. There was a storm outside. We don't usually get too many big thunderstorms around here, so nights like these always had me a bit nervous. A little bit into the storm, I heard something below me, like downstairs in one of the rooms. I thought it was just the house creaking, but feeling uneasy, I got up and checked anyway. There was nothing, so I filled up my water bottle and went back up to my room. I felt like I was only upstairs for another few minutes before I heard something again. It was a sound I was actually very familiar with and instantly recognized as one of my lamps in the living room falling over. I know it's weird how specific that is and how I'd know that, but the lamp was very unstable and would often fall if bumped into, and the spot I had it in, I'd bump into it pretty often. However, even though it was wobbly, it had never fallen over on its own before.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I got back up and went downstairs to the living room, seeing the lamp laying in the middle of the room. I walked over and picked it up, but something just didn't seem right about this. The storm wasn't shaking the house very much at all, so the lamp falling over on its own just didn't make much sense to me. But I almost just had to assume that that's what it was, because there was nothing else to tell me otherwise. Even then, in my gut, I knew that that wasn't the case. I checked around the bottom floor for anything else, but eventually went back up to my room. I turned down the volume on the TV and listened to the storm a bit closer. Maybe it was worse than I thought and was shaking the house. I was up there for a while longer, say 45 minutes, when I felt like the rain got louder all of a sudden. Maybe I didn't notice it before, but it sounded different, almost like it was in the walls. I'm not sure how to describe it, but I knew it was off. I opened my bedroom door and could immediately hear it more clearly, coming from downstairs, so I walked down there and tracked the sound down the hallway. At the end, near the kitchen, there was an awkward door to a storage closet that I knew had a window in it. I could hear the sound of rain pouring down from behind the closet door. I felt the anxiety build up in me as I opened it and saw the window wide open. Water was puddling on the boxes below the window, and rain was slapping against the windowsill. It had been at least 6 months since I'd last been in this storage closet, but I knew for sure I would have never touched that window, let alone left it open. I shut it to block out the sound of the rain, then faced the rest of my house, terrified and literally shaking. I had made the mistake of leaving my phone upstairs on my bed, so I could either run up and grab it, or just run out of my house. I was honestly so scared, I couldn't think straight. I carefully and quietly got my car keys from the kitchen, then started to slowly walk down the hallway toward the front door, hoping if someone was in here, they wouldn't hear me. I got about halfway there, before a sudden burst of footsteps sprinted down the upstairs hallway, right above me. They were going toward the stairs, and in a panic, I ran right to the front door. I could hear them getting close to the bottom as I ran out into the rain. I got into my car, backed out, and drove away without even looking back. I was able to dial 911 through my car. The officers found nothing but an empty house when they got there. Looking further into it, the wall in the closet that had the window ran along the end table that had the lamp on it. So likely the vibrations from trying to bust open the old window knocked over the lamp. Whoever had broken in didn't leave any clues on what they broke in for. It seemed like they had found somewhere upstairs to hide and were probably waiting for me to go to sleep before doing whatever they were going to do. Whether that was to rob me or what, I don't know. It's still really disturbing knowing there was someone walking around my home right outside my bedroom door that night while I was just sitting in my room watching TV. Even now, I randomly get unsettled when just hanging around my home, feeling like I'm not alone. It was a pretty typical night in the middle of March. I worked at a gas station at the time. Usually I did afternoon shifts, but every once in a while I'd cover for someone's overnight shift. I had gotten a call in the morning to come in from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., all of which would count as overtime, so I quickly agreed. I got in and took over for the manager, then sat behind the front counter. It was pouring outside, and supposedly a big storm was gonna roll in later. Seemed to keep most people at home because the gas station was dead. After sitting inside for an hour, I threw on my raincoat and ran outside to prepare the station for the storm. There were a bunch of loose things hanging around the pumps that needed to be brought inside. I started picking them up and running back and forth to drop them off, and as I was grabbing the last few, I noticed a man not too far away from the gas station. He was on the side of the street, pacing around and getting drenched by the rain. It was very unusual, though it looked like he was probably just waiting for a ride. I finished up and headed inside. 2 hours later, thunder started rumbling in the distance, and soon after, heavy winds and even harsher rain came swooping in. I knew it would be bad, but this was insane. The wind smacking against the sides of the building was actually making the whole room shake, and at one point, I even thought the front doors were gonna snap off the hinges because they swung open so fast. I hurried over and secured the bolt lock to keep them in place, then moved toward the back of the building and into the storage room, away from all the windows, and I just waited. I want to say it was maybe 30 minutes after the storm has started. I was still in the back of the building when, through all the harsh noises, I heard a muffled sound. It wasn't until I heard it multiple times that I realized it was someone banging on the front doors. I left the storage room and looked down the sales floor. There was someone outside, looking in at me and hitting the doors repeatedly. I hurried over and unlocked it, thinking he was in trouble and needed help. He quickly ran inside, and I closed and locked the doors behind him. The man was soaking wet and had pools of water draining from his jacket and spilling onto the floor. He didn't stop to thank me or explain himself. He just kept walking, back and forth, pacing across the floor. It was the same man I'd seen outside earlier. Had he been out there the whole time? It had been over 2 hours since I'd seen him. I tried asking if he was okay, and if I needed to call for help, but the man just kept pacing the floor with this blank, hollow look in his eyes. After watching him for a minute, I got really uncomfortable and started to walk to the front desk to call the police. As I picked up the phone, though, his eyes snapped at me and he stopped walking. It was then, as we looked at each other, that I noticed his hands were cut. Like, right on the knuckles, they were bloody and bruised. I caught myself looking for too long, and by the time I looked back up at the man's eyes, I could tell he was pissed.
"Don't,"
he said, clearly talking about me using the phone. I wasn't trying to test him, so I lowered the phone. There were a couple seconds where he just stared at me, like he was thinking about whether or not to do something. But then he turned and continued to pace the floor. The storm picked up outside, chaotically shaking the building and adding to the horror of whatever was happening. I tried to think out all my options as this maniac walked around just feet from me. I could try running, but I'd have to get the door unlocked and outrun him in the storm, which seemed really risky. I could also try calling the cops and hope he just leaves, but that was also risky. Funnily enough, I ended up choosing probably the most risky option, which was to do nothing and just wait. I stood there and watched him for, I don't know, 20 minutes at least. At any point, he could have just snapped and ended me, but he didn't. After those 20 minutes, he gave me one last look, then walked over to the door, slid the bolt lock over, and walked out into the storm. I immediately called the police. I'm not sure if it was just because of the storm, or because they didn't think it was urgent enough, but it took over a half hour for a cop to show up. By then, whoever the hell that man was gone. They never found him. When the storm finally passed on the following day, there was a report filed for a missing woman. She never returned home from work that night, after leaving the office at 11 p.m. Maybe I'm just connecting completely different things, but the man had clear signs of having attacked someone, with blood and bruises on his knuckles, and the timeline seems to add up. Again, it's all just theories, but whatever I was in the middle of that night.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I was driving back from a late shift at work. I worked for security, so my hours were kind of all over the place. I'd gotten out at 1 a.m. this day. There was a pretty heavy storm going on. A lot of the roads had water building up on the sides, and almost nobody else was driving. The route I usually take is off the main roads, on smaller, less crowded streets. And for some reason, I failed to realize I probably should have taken the main roads this time. It's not like they were busy anyway. As I was using one of these small side roads, I came up to a point that was flooded. It was hard to tell exactly how high the water was, but it looked like it might be several feet deep, which I was not comfortable driving through. I knew this meant I'd have to drive all the way back, so I was pretty frustrated. I put my car in reverse and started to back up to do a three-point turn, when my car started frantically beeping. I hit the brakes, but didn't even know why it was beeping until I looked over my shoulder and out the back window. There was a car right behind me, like only 2 feet away from my bumper. It was almost like a jump scare because not once during the 10-minute drive down this one-lane road did I see any cars in front or behind me, and their headlights weren't even on. I sat there for a minute. I thought they would see me backing up and move, or they would see the flooding road and also turn around, but they didn't do anything. They just stayed right behind me. The rain ticking against my car and my headlights being the only thing lighting up the road only made this feel more unsettling. Eventually, I honked a few times. The longer I sat there, though, the more I felt like something was seriously wrong about this. Then, their door opened. A man got out. He wore black clothing and had a hood covering most of his face. He came up to my window and knocked on it a few times. I didn't open it. The man didn't say anything, he just continued to knock on the window. This was so unusual and creepy, being that he was standing out during a storm on this empty road. I genuinely thought he had to be drunk or something. I decided to put my car in drive and try to inch forward, careful not to go too far into the flooded section, but the man followed right along my window. At this point, I was almost sure he was drunk, the way he was acting, not having his headlights on. I mean, he had to be. I was still nervous, but I thought I'd figured it out. Then, completely out of nowhere, someone knocked on the other side of my car. It was another man, wearing the same sort of clothing, and behind him, I could see another figure approaching my car as well. I was stunned for a second, but realizing I was running out of time, I moved faster, being less careful about the flood and just trying to turn my car around as quick as possible. There was a moment where my car lost traction for a whole 3 or 4 seconds, and I thought I had gone too far. But by some miracle, it came back to me. I managed to get around them and drive away. Obviously, once I was back on the main road, I called the police. They drove down to the scene later that night, and oddly, the car was still there, right by the flood, but none of the men were there. They were able to trace the car's owner down to some random dealership hundreds of miles away that it had apparently been stolen from months ago. I don't really know what happened on that road, or how close I was to something horrible happening. I probably will never know. My grandparents live in a small cabin up in Alaska, so I don't see them very often. But last fall, I made the road trip up there in my RV just to visit them for the season. A bunch of other family members flew in as well. As we got into October though, it started getting colder and the snow was supposed to be coming in, so I had to leave before the roads got too bad. The road that goes from Alaska and through Canada is famous for being extremely remote. There's no service along most of it, and it just goes through hills, valleys, forests, and mountains. Most people making the drive either sleep at the few truck rest stops or at public camping spots along the road. On my second day, I drove until 8 p.m. before finding a place to pull off for the night. It was a dirt road with a small spot between the trees to park and sleep at. I think a lot of people might find it unnerving to sleep in the middle of nowhere like this, but I did it pretty often in my RV, so I was used to it. I made myself something small to eat, then got in bed and turned on a movie to watch. It wasn't very long after I'd arrived, though, that I heard footsteps nearby. I sat up and opened one of the blinds, but I didn't have any exterior lights on, so my view was of nothing but the pitch black woods. The footsteps sounded like they were from out there, but I couldn't confirm if it was a person or not. From what I saw when I pulled into this campsite, this was the only parking spot. but maybe there were more nearby that I didn't see. If it was a person, they had to have parked somewhere nearby, because there's no way they could have just been wandering around all the way out here. I thought about heading to the front of the RV and turning on the lights, but figured it best to just lay low. Maybe they didn't even see me here and were just walking back to their campsite. Or again, it might have not even been a person at all. After a few minutes, everything seemed good, and I continued watching the movie. I went to bed around 9:30, knowing I had to get up early to start driving again tomorrow. My eyes shot open to three loud knocks at the door to the RV. It was nearly too dark to see inside, so I switched on the reading light next to me.
"I just need some water, please, and then I'll be on my way."
It was a man's voice, deep, like they were older. My eyes looked at the clock. It was 2 a.m. If this guy really was out there, in need of help, he had way more to worry about than just water. It had to be nearly freezing out at this time of night.
"Why are you out here? How did you even get here?"
I called out. There was a pause.
"My truck broke down, just a couple miles back. Just looking for some help is all. I don't mean any trouble."
My gut feeling was that this wasn't right. Everything just wasn't adding up. I snuck my way over to the other side window and tried to peek out and see him. It was extremely dark, but I could make out his figure standing right up to the door. I thought it was really weird how close he was, like he might be trying to listen in or even try to break in. But then I caught sight of something else. Behind him, I could see more figures moving around in the dark, several, like at least four or five. The man knocked again, almost banging on the door as if he was losing his patience. I quietly backed up and grabbed the keys, then took a deep breath before running to the front and quickly turning the RV on. As soon as I did, the headlights lit up multiple men in front of me, all looking mid-30s and 40s with scruffy beards and raggy winter clothes. They started yelling as I drove past them and circled back to the main road. I drove until I reached a gas station. By the time I had service and got police involved, it was far too late for anything to be done. What those men were trying to do is anyone's best guess. This fall, I didn't make the trip up there, and I'm starting to doubt I ever will again.